to be there.
That is the truth. Well, no matter how hard I ever get to be, why, I still am very happy to be here. And he were to serve the Lord. It's quite a little difference in our crowd tonight. It was last night. It was a long day. Yesterday was a very long day. And, of course, that was... that people were tired and worn for the night. And now we're starting another week, which is the longest service that I have ever held in my life. And I trust that it'll prove out to be a great blessing to all. I'm just about as tired as I ever was in my life. It would seemingly, but that would make you tired. But if I would just give you some little inside picture that you might know what I mean. Those visions, that's what weakens me. Where the supernatural working on a natural man. Someone met me and tell me about that picture. Said, "Brother Brian, that don't look like you." I said, "Well, if that was saying if the angel of God was that close to you as it was, it probably does change you." Now think of being under that constantly, day in and out. Then I had to get out somewhere and give vent to myself. To God, why you just get so weak you can't hardly go. It looks like your strength is just gone. And then another thing, when you're in a meeting like this, a mass meeting, and people are praying, that affects me no matter where I am. It affects you. The angel of the Lord is a moving, you see. And pulling on you constantly. Might seem strange, maybe a little different from your teaching, but we can only testify what is truth. Truth. And now, I hope to get to return again sometime to Cleveland up here to have a meeting when we can come back. Thank you, Greg. Thank you very much. And I will try. I feel that it's greatly needed here at Cleveland. And if I should come back again, it'll be better. It'll be easier to start then. This is kind of pioneering. Looked like everybody was bypassing Cleveland, leaving it go. But seemingly something told me to come to Cleveland. Here's where it was to come. Cleveland is, well, the most of the people there belong to these kind of churches and that, but no matter what they belong to, all of us is to hear the gospel and to see those who struggle for the cause. I was sent to those people, those men who weathered the storm, and they taught these things and believed that and looked forward for it to come. Now if it's come, it's to all of us, everywhere. And I was talking to a minister friend of mine today from Del Rio. He and another minister just flew in here. There's a plane sitting down here at the coast now in a little hangar down there. So I said, well, our crowd hasn't been very big, but it's been one of the sweetest meetings I've ever in. There seems such a harmony among the people, the ministers. Everybody, one heart, one accord. My brother Lindsay told me, could you just stay a few more extra days? I wanted to do it because I'm looking for something to happen that I prayed for and seen it one time in my life. That's for an entire congregation to be healed at once. Everything healed just at once. It looks like with such unity and such cooperation in the Spirit that this could happen. And as the meetings begin to draw towards a close, the anticipation of the people, they know they must press some way. See? And they'll just reach out and accept it just on the ground. And usually the last night of the service usually produces better than all the service. Because it's the last night and people say, well, this is my last chance. I've got to reach. And all they have to do is just make a reach. It's there. Just as sure as God's there, it's there. and they'll find it, but they're just a little afraid to step out, you see. And then I want the ministers of the congregation to remember this, the ministers, brethren, there'll be people in your churches that's been crippled that you'll notice they're going to start walking. There'll be people there that's been sick that'll walk up and say, brother, pastor, I had stomach trouble. I didn't get in the prayer line, but you know, that's left me. See? And I'm standing here on the platform, you can just feel it pull and then let up. It's over, see? They may not recognize it, but it is. See? Just watch what happens. Got to. If they're just halfway believe it, they'll be right. And now, do this. Since last evening, I've had very much of a tussle and praying over a matter that God has been dealing with me on something, and that is about such a miraculous amount of faith in here and can touch just such a few people each time. But one thing has always bothered me. Now, there's no newcomers. You're all been to meetings before, have you? Let's see how many has been here before. Raise your hands everywhere. About that, Chris. That's fine. Now, you understand the meeting and how many of you have been here for a long time. And many of you have been sitting here waiting to be prayed for. I heard today that one man has received many prayer cards. Never had got into the prayer line yet. He's been up almost the prayer bench and somewhere thought it's very sick. We have no control of that. God alone does it. Maybe the man's faith is just not right yet. But if you believe with all his heart, it'll be all right anyhow. And what I've always wondered, could I minister to all the sick? That's what's been my heart's desire. I tried it. I told you one time, stayed at the pulpit for 8 days and nights. But we get more thousands and thousands more at the end of the 8 days. Well, I never left the platform. Slept here, eat here, and everything right at the pulpit for 8 days and nights. I did. I've taken about 8 months vacation after that. I had, in other words, I couldn't get out. I was just in a nervous break. Just like the kill. Well, then I knew then that I must use a little more wisdom than what I had. Jesus never even tried to touch the people like that. Is that right? Let's just get right down to our hearts, and I want to tell you something. And we want to talk just for a few moments, just heart to heart. Now, I'm realized, and you realize too, in ministry, that man can take a divine gift and send his soul to hell with it. You know that? A gift from God. Now, I don't mean it's something that you imagine. I mean, if God has really given something and give it to your charge, you've got to use that with the wisdom of God. Now, I've never in my life talked to a congregation like this. Especially congregation of healing, I think. But the thing that I want to see, I want it so bad. And that's the reason I'm talking to you the way I am. Now remember, divine gift can easily get a person into trouble. That God, if he finds someone that he figures that he could entrust the divine gift with, which is reverence with all of our hearts. Now remember, how many believe Moses was a divine gifted prophet of God? He was. Everyone believes that. But Moses, with that same divine gift, got himself in trouble. Did he? God told him, said, you go speak to the rock. He'd already smitten the rock. Once he'd go speak to the rock. And that rock was Christ. Is that right? And Christ wasn't smitten the second time. We just speak to him. That one. He was smitten once. And he brought forth the waters of life. And we just speak to the rock now. And it brings forth the waters. Like God so loved the world. The rock in the wilderness is the perfect of John 3:16. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Those Israelites were perishing, and the rock was smitten and brought forth life, water. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believes on him should not perish, a perishing generation of people. should not perish, but have everlasting life by speaking to the rock. But Moses went down there and smote the rock. He got angry. He forgot all of his, he lost control of himself. He got all worked up and excited because of the people, and he just smote the rock again, and it didn't bring his water, but he smote it again. Is that right? Now, he was a divine prophet, sent from the presence of God, born in this world to be a prophet, a vindicated prophet, the signs and wonders, the pillar of fire followed him. And we know that he was a prophet sent from God. And God had entrusted him with that power, and as far as I know, Bible readers, I'm not much of a scholar, because I never got but just a grammar school education, seventh grade at that. Look, but here, the only place that I can see in the Bible where the program of God was ever broke, and all the types, was right there. When Moses smote the rock the second time to bring out the water, regardless if it wasn't God's will, we know it wasn't God's will, we'll admit that, don't we? But Moses had power to bring it, whether it was God's will or not. Is that true? We know it was against God's will, but God had entrusted his servant with that power, and he smote the rock, and he didn't come back from his water. Sure, it wasn't God's will, but he smote it again. He called for it, it had to come. Right? Down with that power. He brought forth water. It was against God's will. God dealt with Moses later about that. Is that right? You remember Elisha? Young fellow went bald headed when he was young. Just the little children began to holler and said, old bald head, why did you grow up with Elisha? Remember that? That angry prophet now turned around angry and cursed those children.
One of the greatest scores I ever seen. That's it.
said that same thing. I said, you go get a person and bring them to me. They did. A boy born blind, about 16 years old. I stayed right with the boy. Stayed right there until that boy received his sight. And after I did that, taking the time where hundreds were setting to be prayed for, but put all the time on that one boy. And after I heard he was screaming, and he'd come back, he was wandering through the crowd. He got back and said, I told my mother that I wanted to see what the man looked like that opened my eyes. I said, I hope you see something. The Lord Jesus Christ. So he took home my tie and said, Mother, is I had on stripes of time. He said, is that color been the same through there? Is that what you call stripes? All of them crying. He said, now, what color would you call it? He said, that's what they call nice up there. Born blind, never seen in my life. My people were fainting in heaven. I went to the hotel that night. My brother Don, my little son, Billy. They went to the hotel. It was about 2 o'clock in the morning. I was lying down sleeping. Just went to sleep, but don't sleep very much at night. Always fresh. Nighttime, all demon power shut down for the morning. They're not rolling. That's the time the Holy Spirit moves in and talks to you. Go early to run for it. Drive up early. Hold all the rain workers gone. Even the places are closing up. That calls us to strain the, you know what I mean, that. Notice. And I was laying there. I was waking up all at once. Now look, I thought, my, it's daylight already. I said, look there, it's daylight turning. Look out, I thought, wait a minute, the wind is back here, that's the side of the wall. And I looked again, it was a white cloud milling like this. I said, oh, I see it. There's an angel of the Lord coming to the room. Many times demons have followed me. I felt the pressure of them and fell faint one morning and half the night. And I got out of bed and I knelt down. I noticed the spirit, but I had to find out just what it was first. I kept waiting. I felt it come around the bed. You can feel it. I am talking to you from my heart. It's just like I do not feel it now. Sometimes I feel it. It's standing right over here. I can tell it. It's standing right down here. You can tell it. It's just like a pressure in the air that's against you. Like that. You can feel it. Then when it comes cold, when a patient comes up to you, great, you can feel it. Blows down over you. And you don't talk to yourself. You can feel it. It doesn't talk. You talk to yourself. And it'll head up. Then maybe you stop. You feel it coming back again. And watch. I see a patient standing here. Right in there. Like above them. I see the same thing you heard them tell. You heard them told of everything they've done in their life. Is that right? Heard them even repeat the prayer over they said to God. Isn't that right? And all kinds of sinful things that they've done revealed it's been perfect every time. Is that right? Never fake it. What does that? I just call them just exactly what I'm taking away. Just what I see and what I say. Sometimes I look out over the audience. I feel something moving. I'll watch real close. Then it cuts off. It's somebody else on the other side. Maybe this way and that way. Maybe I can be real quiet and sing around a certain person, or a certain thing. If I get that channel, it looks like I get the rest of them somewhere else, not listening or looking on, then it'll start, the vision rise up and start like that. And now, when I looked at seen that, I got down in the floor and started praying. And as it got closer, I knew it was the angel of God, and I could feel what it was. And I said, what does the Lord want me to do? Never said a thing. Just long, I was standing right there before the bed, and I was speaking like this. And I said, oh, Heavenly Father, what have you sent your angel to be this early part? And I said, your servant is risen. I waited. I knew it was still there, but I didn't open my eyes. Wait, I guess 5 minutes passed. I felt it move closer to me. And when it did, I just heard that voice sound like way back. I could not impersonate the voice if I had to. But I heard it just as plain as audible as my voice is to you, that you're confining too much of that gift of healing to perform a miracle. It will come to pass that people will not believe you unless there's a miracle performed. I said, I shall never do that again, Lord, help me, God. Well, I raised up. I laid down on the bed, and there it was, above the bed, sniffing around like a whole lot of colors and a rainbow sniffing around. And I looked at it, and I laid there a little while. I felt relieved, felt in my sin, would forgive me. And I said, "Good, my Lord, here's my little boy. Nothing made any noise. We had just clean faith. We had to all ever place to pick up the miles around. And my own, we had twin beds in the room. My brother and my little boy were sleeping on the bed next to the twin bed. And I said, "Billy?" I said, "Billy." We didn't answer. I said, "Donnie?" We didn't answer. And I took my pillow, watching that. And I knew, but not answered, I knew it was all right. Never said yet. And I threw my pillow like that, and it hit my brother, Donnie. And I said, "Donnie?" He said, "Yes." And I said, "Call Billy." Billy said, Donnie said, "Billy, you're dead, won't you?" Just then, I said, "Billy, look." And he looked, said, "What do you want, Daddy?" About that time, Donnie jumped out of the bed, screaming, "Oh!" And Billy said, "Oh, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy." He jumped out of the bed and jumped over. He said, "Don't let that get me, don't let that get me." And I said, "Honey, that won't hurt." I said, "Many times, I was single 5 years, and I've been father and mother both to him. Magic little bottles of milk in my pocket at night, and I lay it under my head to keep it warm, so I give it to him at night. Mother dies, and don't take my soul. And I just had to raise me. Then both father and mother, I said, many times I go to be especially fine. He said, "Daddy, I'm so afraid you're going to go and never come back to me again." I said, "No, honey, I'll be back." I said, "Now, honey, that's the reason Daddy goes. That's the angel of the Lord that leads us back. Just in the room talking to me. And I asked if you see, so you won't worry about Daddy and know that that's the angel that would keep Daddy." That was a killer thought like that. Mingling with colors, licking, flopping, whipping, going on. Donnie, he just don't hardly want to think of other brother. And then it filled around like that one. And I said, "Oh." Then he told me, "Now I want to get to you people something here. If I believe that you people are sleeping, we'll listen. And we'll be. You know, many of you get the wrong conception of divine healing. Now, this is not a gift to perform miracles. Miracles is a separate and different gift from healing. Did you know that? The Bible says you all have the gift of healing. You all have the gift of miracles. But miracles are performed. That's right. It's a miracle every time somebody, a vision happens and tells people what's wrong with them. That's a miracle. It's supernatural. That's a miracle. But healing, now look, when Isaiah went up to heal Hezekiah, do you believe God sent him up there? Do you believe where Ezekiel was going to die, that his house in order? Well, then, when Isaiah went up and pronounced him to be healed, it was even 3 days before Hezekiah gained enough strength to come down off his bed to go to the house of God to worship. Is that right? And when Jesus pronounced the Roman, the centurion's son healed, he said, from that same hour he began to amend. If you had a cut on your hand, you've done everything. Nothing except getting worse. After a while, you cut something on your hand, it begins to help it. Right? It's getting well. It's getting it. And when the curse of sickness is taken off of you, not every time, it's a miracle. Not sometimes, it just happens spontaneously. Sometimes the curse is just gone, and the cure follows. Now listen real close for you to be sure. There's hardly a time that within the space of 72 hours after a healing has taken place until Satan is right back to the place again. That's the Bible. When the unclean spirit's gone out of a man, he walks in dry places. Then he returns with him with 7 other demons worse than he was. Is that right? You know what he goes on. If the good man of the house isn't there to hold him off, faith to believe. Now, I want you to listen closely to my commitment. God knows I want this to happen. I'm weak. I dread to say that. But, friends, do you realize I'm facing human power? And I must live right and do right. And I must be truthful. I don't care if the newspapers tell, they had to drag me out. That don't make any, that don't stop it from being true. That's true. But when they lie about it, that's a lie. But when it's the truth, it's the truth. Now, I wish I didn't get weak. But I can't help it, my strength just goes right away. Yeah, I can't help it. Now, I wondered why it was it always makes me so swimmy. And a few days ago, I was reading in the Bible of Daniel, after he had those visions, he said he was troubled in his head for many days. You remember that? Daniel. Then that gave me consolation again to help me see that when mortal beings, when the supernatural comes upon the mortal being, it causes a conflict with the flesh. That's right. It weakens the human being's soul. Even Christ, laying on the back of a boat, and those terrible waves didn't even, so much virtue had gone out of him, so them terrible waves didn't even wake him up. Isn't that right? But when awakened, then he can still the waves. Now, see, the human part went away. Went out. Virtue went out while the supernatural worked. And Jesus, in many cases, went into the city and healed one person. Left the city. Meet a man outside the city gate. The story is by him and go on somewhere else. Went into the land of Gadara, healed the one person. They started to But then he did heal all that come to him one night to fulfill which is spoken of the prophet Isaiah. He himself took our furnace. And Jesus said that he could do nothing at all until first the Father showed him. Is that right? St. John, when he passed by that pool of Bethesda. Now let these words sink in now. When Jesus passed by the pool of Bethesda, there was a great multitude of people that had been laying there. They, now watch the kind of condition they were in. Lame, halt, blind, crippled, withered, is that right? Waiting for the moving of the water. Or an angel came down to the person who used to trouble the water. And the first one was faith stepping in, but he was the one ever to meet yet. Someone said to me, when he's been to these five paralyzed people, leave this village here that's been sitting there paralyzed. It's a down and fellow paralyzed people so we can believe. Brother, you would believe it right himself. That's right. I can do nothing at all. God gets all glory for I can do nothing. I can only do what he tells me to do. If you work in a bank where plenty of money was, but you can only take out what they'll let you take out. Is that right? I may be in fellowship with God for all the power to heal every person in the world. That is true. But I can only do what he says do. And it's not me that does the healing. It's your own faith that contacts God and heals you, and he speaks through his gift and tells you you're healed. See what I mean? You get that? I have nothing to do with the healing. I'm just a mouthpiece for your prayer to God. See? If your prayer has reached God and he's told me that you're healed, then I believe it, and I speak it to you. You believe it, then you're healed. Now notice. No matter what the symptoms are now, you believe it. Now watch when he met me. Let me hold this for the last time. This time. When he came to me in the room, imagine yourself now sitting in the room. Why? Came along to 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. Been praying, didn't know why. Couldn't let me go back home. The little cabin way in the hills. Looking around, darn. Mile and a half from any road, the road back in place where you go hunting trampoline. Way back in the hill. I went back there when I started in that 6 day of May 1946. I was walking around the house and my piano player, her brother came up and said, Brother Brandon, right up there in Madison with me. I said, I can't, I've got patrol today. He said, oh, come on, go on with me. I said, no, I can't, sir. I've got to go to Henryville patrol today. He
Mike.
I said, come on in, wife. Got some dinner ready. About 12 o'clock. I was rolling up my sleeves. He said, I'm going around to wash. I had a little two-room place to live. He said, would you go in? He said, no, thank you, brother. I said, brother, God, sir, come on. He said, no. He said, I said, I'll see you later. I said, will you go to church Sunday? He said, I'll see you at church Sunday. I said, all right. I reached out and unbuckled his gun. That was buckled. While I was going in to lay my gun on the porch to wash. I had to. Just as I started under a maple tree, it seemed like the whole heaven broke up. I've been afraid of it. I tried all my life. I've wondered what it was. I turned right, fell back. He jumped out of his car and runs and said, Brother Branham, what's the matter? My wife ran out with a pitcher of water. Give me a drink. Said, are you fainted? And I said, no. I said, I'm all right. I said, it seemed like every leaf on that tree fell on me. I said, I don't know what that is, Brother Paul. I said, it's followed me all the days of my life. And I said, I believe that being that people have told me it's the wrong thing, I said, I remember lots of times in the Bible that when the demons had to testify of the power of Christ, a lot of times the clergyman said, why, he's Beelzebub, he's this, that, and other. Demons said, we know who you are. You're the Son of God, the Holy One of Israel. I've seen when Paul and Silas was up there, hang on, from that little fortune teller, and all them ministry up there said, oh, they're impostors. And that little fortune teller ran out and said, these are the men of God that tell the way of life. See, them demons recognize that gift in those men before sometimes religious teachers did. Now I said to my wife, I said, honey, call her up, tell them I don't know when I'll ever be back to work again, for I am now going to find out what that is or die. I said, I've got about $23 left in the bank, and I'll write you a check. And I'm going to leave, and I shall never return until I find out what that is that's followed me all my days. One says this and one says that, but I'm going to find out what it is. And I took my Bible, the little Schofield Bible, about like that, and I put it under my arms, and I took off. Now, I went and I read until nighttime. I got a cave I go into and read way back in the hill. But this is a little old log cabin where I used to trap. And I prayed, and I prayed. I was sitting there praying, holding my mind with a power that reaches and steers on in beyond the moon and stars and the falls. Get the hold of God way in under somewhere. Sitting there meditating, sneaking on God. Getting along towards 3 o'clock in the morning. I said, God, I'll stay right here until I die. Until something. I'm a minister. And don't let me be deceived. If you want something for me to do, if it's something you wish to speak to me, you show me signs and wonders. And people have told me to forget about it and I was eating too much supper or something like that. I said, but I want you to tell me, Father. If it's wrong, come down now and stop it from me. Shut it off so I'll never know no more about it. I said, have mercy, God. I cried till my eyes were swollen. I said, God, I'm sincere. I don't know what to do. I don't want to fail you. I've done all that I know how to do. But what is it you want me to do? And in there in prayer, all at once I seen a light. But I looked around and thought, here, somebody coming with a flashlight? Could be a car coming back in here. Well, where was that at? Now, look at it. Spreading out on the floor, getting bigger. I said, where is it? Looked up, and right up there hung this same thing that you see in this picture. Round, around, around that bike, getting bigger and bigger. I turned around, looked, and I heard something going. Walking, just about like this thing. Walking slowly. I heard a footstep approaching, barefooted at that. And I looked, coming across the old board floor, I seen, under this light, what was coming down, I seen that it was a man's foot. I seen a white robe. And it was, imagine how you'd see it. I said, oh my. Looks like that. It walked closer, and when it come into the full light, it was a man, had his hands folded like this. He weighed about 200 pounds, plenty dark complexion. Plenty more like a Mexican complexion, you know, like the Spanish or some dark complexion person. Blue face, no bigger. Had dark hair down to his shoulders. Had a white robe on. And his character you couldn't talk about it. One of them was so meek, and it looked like, again, if he could speak, just turn the world over. And he walked right up to me, just as smoothly. And I was just biting my fingers until it was bleeding almost. I was getting back. I couldn't get up. I promise, I was so scared, I just couldn't. And you and me, too. Don't think. Now, just imagine sitting way out in the wilderness like that to yourself, and look around, and there stands the side of you like that. I was biting my fingers. And he just walked up to me and looked at me just as set me down from the back. He said, "Do not fear." And when he said that, I know that was the same boy. First time I'd seen him as a man. I'd seen him in that whirl of fire. I heard him in the whirlwind in the bush. And I'd seen all those things. And I heard him talk to me, show me vision. But when he spoke the first word, it's not imagination, it's the audible voice. Just as you hear mine. And the man's just as real as I'm standing here. Well, I could have shook hands with him if he'd raised his hand out. I could have pat him on the side. He's just as natural as anyone could be. And he looked at me. He said, "Do not fear. For I am sent from the presence of the Almighty God." He said, "To tell you that your peculiar birth and life has been to indicate that you're to take a gift of divine healing to the people of the world." And said, "Now listen. If you'll be sincere when you pray and get the people to believe you, nothing shall stand before your prayer, not even the cancer." Now, let's stop right there on that much of the message. I'll take the rest just a few moments. He said, "Now I have appeared," in other words, "from God, to tell you that your peculiar birth," which I had, that's my mother, okay, "and peculiar life," right, no one has ever understood me, "has been to indicate that you're to take a gift of divine healing to the peoples of the world." Seventh grade education school. How could I ever be one? Local little Baptist preacher there in the city. He said, "If you'll be sincere when you pray." Now remember, the gift was born here. I had nothing to do with it coming. No one. No one, friends. Don't never let anyone deceive you. Gifts are sent from God alone. God alone is the foreknowledge. Now there's 9 spiritual gifts in the church. They might be on, like on this man tonight and on that one over there, so forth like that. But prophecy of that type and so forth has to have 2 or 3 witnesses to look over it and judge it and see if it's right or not. But you never see them stand before Isaiah or Jeremiah or any of them to judge them. They had thus saith the Lord from their birth. And everybody knew that what they said come to pass. They had the word of the law. And in old times, divers places, God's sundry times, God spoke to us by the prophets. But in this last days, He spoke to us through Jesus Christ. And in the body of Christ dwell these 9 spiritual gifts, which brings any group of people, any gathering of holiness people that believe in Christ, has a right to have the 9 spiritual gifts. It circles through the body. It's in the body. It's not for any individual. It'll be on this one here tonight, and that on there the next night, maybe over here another time. This person can pray a prayer of faith tonight, maybe it's on this and over here the next night. Over on that, it's a gift that's in the body, working around all of you, milling through the body, 9 spiritual gifts. This one might prophesy tonight. That's where we get trouble. One might prophesy and tell the truth. That doesn't make you a prophet. It might never come to you again. A prophet is a vindicated person from birth, coming down with the word of the Lord. A prophet, there's a difference in a prophet and a gift of prophecy. And if you notice in the Bible, healing is in plural. Gifts. G-I-F-T-S, gifts of healing. But a P-R-O-P-H-E-D is a prophet. And there's a gift of prophecy which is in the church. It's to be judged by 2 or 3 judges when it's being given. Is that true? Oh, holiness church, we're so sharp of the things of God. These real teachings what the church needs. How to set together and be mutual before God What would the church day in the name of the Holiness Church ever stand before the Bible in the Bible light of the truth? You know what I mean? You get little things you argue about. That's right, and that's what makes you carnal, when you argue among one another. Forget it. By one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body. And it's your brother. Don't try to run him down. Pick him up if he's done wrong. Let's keep the body going. Now, one of these days, the body's going to come together just like that. That's right. Just like Solomon's temple cut out all the world, but when it come together, there wasn't a buzz of a saw or a sound of a hammer. It went right straight together ever. This 52 went right to the right place. And there it fit together. That's where the body of Christ will go when Jesus comes. You'll go up just arm in arm. That's right. To meet the law. Now, these gifts. Now, he said, if you get the people to believe you. Now watch, friends. Need to get the order. Now, you, mother, with the little boy here, and you, lady, and you along here that's sitting in these chairs, whatever's wrong with you. Now, get this. And all you people are sick in here. The gift is in God. And I can only say what he says say. I can only do what he says do. Jesus passed by the pool of Bethesda. All those crippled, lame, and blind laying there, he healed one man that had an infirmity. He wasn't blind, neither was he crippled. Neither was he lame or halt. As far as I know, the Bible said he had an infirmity for 38 years. And Jesus healed him and turned around and walked away from them people who believed in divine healing. Is it the truth? If he, the Son of God, would turn and walk away from practically, I'd say, 10,000 people there, when the Bible says great multitudes, you know what it means. If he, with his compassionate heart, turned and walked away from that people and healed one man that was diseased in his body and went away from that whole multitude, then in question, the same chapter, John 5, the 19th verse, the Jews questioned him. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son could do nothing in himself." Well, if the Son could do how much less could the servant do in himself? See? I'd like to see everybody healed. I'd like to be able to say to this man in the wheelchair, this man and that man and there, get up and walk. Oh, God knows how I'd like to say that. Sure I would. But what if I would say just in myself? Why, they couldn't move. But then they'd say, well, he's a hypocrite. Why, there's nothing to him. But if I ever tell you to get up, you get up. Or you're going to get up. That's one thing, sure. If it don't, you wouldn't mind. You might never leave the spot where you're at. That's right. Alive. Notice, you can only do what God shows you to do. Now watch. The gift is what God has set down. Now if he said in the form of a brass serpent or a pool of water or whatever it is, you believe not the water, not the serpent, but the gift of God. Is that right? The brass serpent didn't pray for nobody. Neither could the pool of water pray for anybody. But God said, Jesus has said it overnight, give gifts back to man. And now, for God operates by the Holy Spirit through man. Man is God's agent. Now, quickly, before the time gets away, notice close. I have appeared to you, I put it in my own words. I was quoting his words. He said, fear not. For I am sent from the presence of God to tell you that your peculiar birth and life to indicate that you're to take a gift of divine healing to the peoples of the world. You'll be sincere when you pray and get the people to believe you. Nothing shall stand before your prayer, not even the cancer. Now watch the order. God sent the gift nearly 40 years by 40 years ago. It's been in the world ever since. It's possible. Now the thing I was to do was to pray for the sick and be sincere when I pray. And nothing would stand before the prayer. If you can get the people to believe you. See the order now? See? The thing of it is,
go. Now you got that part, have you?
The gift is not the discernment. The gift is to pray for the sick and get them to believe you. You get what I mean?
Nothing shall stand before the prayer, not even the cancer. That's just to pray for the sick and tell them. And now I'm going to pray for you. You believe? I believe with all my heart. And lay hands over on them and pray for them and ask the blessing in the name of the Lord Jesus. Pass them on. They're supposed to go away rejoicing, believing they're going to get well. The cripple's supposed to believe they're going to walk. The blind's supposed to believe they're going to see. Well, I said, supposed to believe they're going to see. Well, I said, they will not believe me because I'm uneducated. He said, as the prophet Moses was given two signs to prove that he was sent from God, so will you be given two signs to do before the people. In other words, to vindicate that I told you the truth. And he told me what they would see. Do these signs before the people. Now here is my condemnation before Almighty God, whom I stand before this night as a minister before one of the loveliest little groups of people I ever stood before. I say it from the depths of my heart, I am condemned the way I use it. Now that's right. One thing, I'm harming the people, so many of them. And another thing, I'm not obeying what he told me to do. It will discern and bring out anything there is in this building. Now that's true. But that don't heal the people. And as I take them one at a time, as they come up here, begin to tell them, talk to them, and so forth like that, tell them all about their diseases. Never did one of the apostles do that. Never did Jesus do that. They did not do that. Yet the gift is here to do that. Now, here's what, if I could come here and produce that one time and prove that it is the truth, then every person in this building that's got any salvation at all ought to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and say, just lay your hands on me, brother, and pray. I'll get well. That's all I have to have. Now, isn't that right? Therefore, I could just meet great multitudes. But hundreds come to the meeting and go away and say, I didn't even give them the line. And I have tried him, say, pass the line to an estimate. Well, he never discerned my case. Well, you know what's wrong with you. You know what you've done in your life. Why should I come up here and reveal that to you and tell you the things that you've done in me? When you know what you've done. If you're a sinner, get right with God now. If you've done wrong, don't wait till the Holy Spirit has to call it out here for you on the platform. Get right with God right there and confess it. Then come on in the line. It won't stop the line. You just pray for the people and let them go on, and they'll go on believing, getting well. Now listen, friends. I believe that before Almighty God, who I stand now, if I would walk from the building right now, the message that I have preached is justified in the sight of God. I believe it. For he has confirmed and performed everything that I declared that he would do. Is that right? Then, what I'm wondering now, why couldn't we have a prayer line and pray for about 100 or more of a night and not even have to stop and tell the people these things and discern all their diseases, hold them by the hands and work up their faith? Why don't you come on your own faith now, being that God has proved that he's here? Come on your own faith and go out of the building rejoicing and saying, thank God I'm healed. That's what he said, do. Now, you think I'm telling the truth? Be honest in your heart. You think it's truth, raise your hand. That's the truth. I believe it, friend. Therefore, I believe 100 people each night or more to be prayed for. And dear brothers and sisters, being that I'm weak and tired. Now, standing talking doesn't bother me. I could preach day in and out, it wouldn't bother me. That builds me up. But this other takes it out of me. I can bring two people before me now and stand here and hold them until their disease is gone. I'd be weaker than if I'd used a pick and shovel 8 hours today. God, who I stand before, no rest of peace. Well, something that just tears the life out of me. And I wonder if one of these nights, if God would permit, why couldn't we have a line like that and let everybody come down and let me stand here, and if I would, I'll wait with one. I want to pray for you. Not just pass you through like we used to have the old fast line. They used to come through here, the people that stand out there, let me pray for the sick that gets a week or couldn't stand up. Then two men, one on one side, one on the other, hold me there, let the people come by and lay their hands on me. Hundreds of them were healed. But many times they come stagger through, said he never prayed for me. They were right. He said, if you'll be sincere when you pray, it's a prayer of faith that saves the sick. If you've got faith enough, you don't even have to come here. You can be healed with your sin. But he told me if I would pray for the sick and get them to believe me, be sincere when I pray, that's what done the healing. Their belief that God had sent his gifts. Of course, he forbid me to take glory in it. I took me there. And you didn't know, friends, that no man, no flesh to glory before God. And what am I standing here for? What am I out in these meetings for? I'm working for Christ. I have a little church at home. The size of a living for me if I go back to it. Lovely. I could go fishing every day. Preach twice a week. Could I get by with that? My soul would be haunted with bony hands reaching for it. I must stay in the pulpit till I die. Woe unto me if I don't declare this counsel of God to the people. See, of this healing power. And each year, Christ, the Son of God, is here. He heals the sick and the needy. I want to read that scripture. It's found over in Matthew, the 4th chapter. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every manner of sickness and every manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him the sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which possessed the devil, and those which had the palsy, and he healed. Now, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now remember, you believe he told the truth? Every case he healed, he seen the Father do it first. What about that? Is it the truth? If there's a great multitude healed, God showed him a great multitude healed. For he said with his own sacred lips, the Son can do nothing except what he sees the Father doing. Is that right? Verily, verily, absolutely, absolutely, in other words. I say unto you that the Son can do nothing in himself but what he sees the Father doing. That doeth the Son likewise. Whatever the Father has done. Now he's here. Now just as I said that, I felt him move up. The gift that I'm speaking of now is right here to my right. Right in the section here somewhere. Now that is the truth. I can feel it justice. Justice, you can hear my voice. Hello. Now this is the thing. I can feel my lips getting numb. So that's that out here, that is here. Sometimes I look at it like this. I know it's standing here. God is my judge. I'm just getting closer and closer. I'm not down to my side. Here, here. As I've tried to be honest with you, I've done all that I know how to do. Let us believe God. Why don't you believe him at all? Oh my, what a great time to be here. Our spirits of infirmities to lead the people. Many would be blessed. This is a deep sincerity. Now, I'm not saying that it is blessed. Be here right now. And I believe this in my heart. If we call a prayer line, and the people come by and not even ask for a good sermon. Just say, Brother Branham, just stand back here, do as the angel told you to pray over me. I'm going away from this place to shout and thank God to you. I'm going to stay right with you. I'm going to stay there and I'm going to get well. I got a minister today, a couple days ago, told me, some lady coming here dying, laying on a cot. Just in the last days of peace. She said, when she saw from other cities, they had an awful time getting to me. Said, while I was preaching,
I looked down at her and said, "Sister, you could have told her the things of her life and what was wrong." I said, "Do you accept my word?" No, she did. I said, "Go on, Jesus Christ to see." And now she's just glorifying God, pronounced well, going all around to this city. Many things. A while ago, if I hadn't been this meeting, a lady who sent a telegram, a minister from Jamaica, someone, his wife is in the last stage, and said that, "Could you fly here at my expense right away?" That you're the only hope that we have to come and help our wife through to God. Now, when you get home, there's dozens of them. I get down over and pray. I say, "God, you know, show me where to go." Then I pick out wherever He tells me, and away I go. Here, I just went in home not long ago, and it was different. There's about 15 long distance airplane tickets and things, put in from all over the country, different places where I've been, this and that, and a couple months. This went on too, and I said, "Honey, you know, I just come to see through to New York and just come back." And I said, "Well, there's a man there, a big television company, said if we come to Madison Square Garden, he can put the thing on television for your daughter." That's right. Here we come here to New York. And so I'm going to give you that opportunity. So then when his mother is in need, this man. And so then I got back, and the wife said, "Honey, look in here." She said, "Ah, this place is crowded. Everybody's gone." She said, "Let me call it to you." I said, "Well, honey, I know I've..." She said, "Well, here's this from this and this from that and this from this and this and that. I got different ones. This from California, this from Oregon, this from down in Florida, this from over here." And then she said, "And here, you know, Arkansas, the mayor of the city there is Black Giant Station." And I said, "What'd you say?" Holy Spirit, stop. I said, "Go back through those again." Went back. Oh, it was bad weather. Just the early spring, snow everywhere. And said, "Mina, Arkansas, the mayor of the city, his wife, dying of cancer, calling. She belongs to the Assembly of God." I said, "Just a moment, let me pray." I said, "You've been trying for 4 or 5 days to get a hold of you." I said, "Let me go into my room." I went in the room and studied a little while. The Holy Spirit said, "Me, go to me." They had the worst case I could have got. They had to drive to the car through the hills and everything else, and the plane was snowbound. I said, "The Lord tells me to go to Mina." Get him on the phone, tell him I'm on the road, stand over there and meet him. Send him to the central car. I got down there, and the doctor over in the bedroom, walked in the room where she was and laid hands on her. Said, "The Lord Jesus sent me here that you might be healed." And she got right up, walked out of the building like that. She goes, "Boom." Where it was called the revival, right, the breakout in that country. She's helped. Revival, right, the breakout in the country. She passed about a gallon and a half of water and pus and about a half hour from that. Weeks later, I was in a meeting. Here she's in there. She said, "I'm feeling fine, Brother Branham. This is kind of going to be wise. Obedient." Now he's here. You believe if a prayer of faith was said over you, you get well. You believe it? How many prayers? Where did that part start from? What number? One of the list. 100 of them now? I believe we can pray for 100 people right now. Don't you think so in the next? I'll say the next time. Without having to learn. Just pray. I believe every minister in this building should pray with us. Look, friends, your minister has just as much right to pray. Now be ready. Now he's here, each one of you got your prayer. Do you believe that if we just make a line here of people, all that whole number, the whole hundred line, and come right down through the line and let us just pray for you, I believe you get well. You go away from this platform tonight just rejoicing and saying, "Thank God for healing me." You go on out of the building and believe that with all your heart. I believe you write your testimony in within the space of a few days that you're perfectly well. Don't you believe that? How many would do that? Would go out of here? How many would make a committal to God right now and say, "Lord, I believe if the things has been confirmed that this man has said, and I know that they are true,
as far as the discernment. Now, just shake yourself a little bit. Pinch your inside part. Wake up. What more could God do? What more could he do? He couldn't heal you against your faith no more than nothing, could he? And if you do believe him, you're healed anyhow. Is that right? It's your faith in God's word, and he can heal you. Now, don't disbelieve. Have faith in God. Do you believe him with all your heart? Now look. Now, that you might know the Holy Spirit, will you just be reverent, every one of you, just as reverent as you'd be for a few minutes? Just look this way. That you might know, as you say, well, I believe maybe the Holy Spirit's blessing me. Oh, it is right here. And I'm going to ask our Heavenly Father now if he will heal somebody in this building. Somebody that you could see that's actually healed. And let him show it to me. And you pray for your healing now. And let the Heavenly Father show it to me. And if he hears my voice, or the angel that talked with me said my thoughts in heaven was louder than my voice on earth, he knows what you're thinking about. And if God will just let me see one of you healed, and will confirm that to be so, will you believe with all your heart then that he's here and he's blessing his, and I'm not, remember, I'm not him. I just represent him. I'm his channel here. And remember this, he can move from me anytime he desires to. He goes at his will. God knows I love him, and I want him to always stay with me, for I love to work with his people. It's the greatest pleasure I ever had. But God, he has the right. I have nothing for on him. He is the one who can lead me whenever he desires. Thank you. But I love him and want him to stay here. But he can leave whenever he wants to. But I trust that I'll have favor with him, and he'll grant his blessing to me. Now, let's bow our head. Lord Jesus, I don't know any time in life when I was any more sincere than I am just now. For Lord, you know I'm weak, I'm tired, and the meeting is long and dragging out. And I feel, Lord, that it was right for me to stay here. Or if you would not have led me so, I would have left. No matter what was in the cross, I would have left. But I felt that you wanted me to stay. So I stayed, Father. And I tried to tell to the people, explain to them that you are the one that heals, that you've come to vindicate your servant, and let them know that it's not me, that it's you. You can take or give at your leisure. You're God, and there's none other like you. And now, Father, answer the prayer of those sick people out there, someone, and show it to your servant that you put the blessing of healing upon them, that they are going to be healed, going to get well. And, Lord, it'll increase the faith of others. And let them know that you're still here with your servant. Will you hear my prayer, Father? In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, amen. I ever want just as reverent as you can be in prayer. Do you really believe what I'm saying is in the truth? Have faith, everyone. Now look this way and believe with all your heart that God has answered your prayer. Now will you believe me if he shows it? Everyone there in here, you know that I believe he said this section here was wrote for the sick. This section here, I don't know. Is that right? Aren't you people riding this line incident? Look this way. Just believe with all you want. That's it. I can't tell whether it's the lady here or the man. I believe it's you, sir, with the back trouble that it is. All right. Will you obey me as God's servant and believe me? All right. I want you to get up and walk out the back of that tent, raise your hands and say, thank you, Jesus, for healing me, for your back trouble has left me, brother. Walk out the back of the tent there and say, thank you, Jesus, for healing me. Sister, you have a desire in your heart, don't you? I saw a little lady there sitting right back behind the lady here with there, you with your finger up there. There's a desire in your heart for something, isn't it? Isn't it exactly a sickness or an affliction of some sort, isn't it? A deep, sincere crave for something. Is that true? Would you stand up just a moment? Is this lady here thinking so hard right in front of her? Yes, you, this is the lady in the back, really young lady there. But look this way. How do you get above this lady right here? What you're thinking about the little black girl thing, right there. And I'm trying my best to see. Yes, I see what it is, sir. All right. Now you're a stranger, aren't you? I don't know you, do I? But if God has revealed to me and showed me just exactly what you have need of, would you believe me? You've been barren, haven't you? Without children. You're desiring a child, isn't that right? May God grant your desire. Do you believe that God will bless you? May God give you the baby that you desire. I believe with all of your heart, God will bless you. Have faith. Don't doubt. Now let's see back just a little piece farther. Everyone will look at this. Have mercy, God. Yes? Here's coming one right here. I believe it's the lady with the white hat. Right there. With the white hat on, sitting right. No, it isn't. It's the lady right behind her with the brown suit on. Stand up, sister. Yes, you had cancer, didn't you? It's left you now. You can go on home rejoicing. And the man right behind you, that patch over his ear, it's cancer too, isn't it, brother? Have faith in God, all right? God bless you. Go home and be healed up. God bless your nervousness and all his blessings. You remove and go. Now down in this section here, if there's any sick people in here, look this way, everyone now, and have faith. Now I can only speak as the Holy Spirit says. There we go, rejoice. Let's go, thank God. I'm not too sure just where it's coming from, but I believe it's the lady with the little girl in her arms. There's something wrong. It's you, isn't it, sister? Is it a female trouble that's bothering you? Is that right? Stand up on your feet. All right, you're healed now. Jesus Christ makes you whole. Just a moment. Here's someone else. This lady sitting here with the black dot, white dotted dress on, she has female trouble too, don't you, sister? Raise up your heel now, God bless you. Raise up your heel now, God bless you. That's me. Okay. Now let's see the cripples. You crippled people, look this way and believe. Have faith. Does your voice seem better, sister? With the heart trouble? Yes, ma'am. Going to be all right. You feel all right, sonny boy? You're going to be well now. Look at that happy little pop, how he is. Stand up, honey, so the people can see you. He was heart trouble the other night, laying there. He couldn't hold himself still. There he is. He was heart trouble. Bless his little heart. See,
see the aged woman laying there. Look this way, lady. Poor old mother, gray-headed. Look this way now. Have faith. You're stranger, sister. Isn't that right? But you're suffering. You're bound with rheumatism. Is that right? I look and believe. Do you believe this is the same spirit that told the woman at the well her sins and told her to go get her husband? Do you believe the spirit of Christ? You're a sinner yourself, lady. Isn't that right? You haven't given your life to Christ. If you give your heart to Christ, your rheumatism will leave. Would you believe that with all your heart? And you move now and give your heart to Christ. I rise up from that thing and go out there in the field. You can walk. Go out in the Lord Jesus bless you. Look down this way, crippled, afflicted people. Brother, sitting here blind, these glasses on. Yeah, you, just raise your hand. You believe with all your heart? You believe that God will make you whole? Will you accept my words as God's servant? You will? All right. I'm going to say to you, you'll rise from there and exercise your faith. Jesus Christ will give you your sight. Stand up on your feet. Walk out the tent door over here. Go on, you can see. Walk off. Everyone reverend, please. Young man, you've been bound for some time too, haven't you? You believe Jesus? Look, young man, you'll be bound to the chair as long as you live if you don't exercise faith and believe. Do you believe it now that you're sitting in his presence? You do? All right. I want you to rise up. In the name of Jesus Christ, walk on out. You're not bound anymore to the power of hell. Bound. You believe? All your heart? What's your number?
Those with prayer cards from P, start at 1 and line up according to your number. All of you that can line up, start at 1 and line up according to your number. We're starting with P.
Happy. They've seen your works now for many, many days, some 15 days. and they know that you're here and know all the things of their heart. Now, Lord, for the first time in my life, since you commissioned me to go and to pray for the sick, get the people to believe you, I start tonight in the name of Jesus Christ to getting the people to believe as I lay hands upon them, seeing that discerning each thought and heart takes so much time, Lord, many are waiting. I pray that you'll heal each one of them in the name of thy Son, Jesus. Amen. All right, everyone, I'll be seated as not with prayer cards. Stand in the line and wait. All right. For your glory in Jesus' name. That's right. Okay. Everyone, thank the Lord. Say, thank the Lord. If you leave here saying you're healed now, this is going to be a sign whether the God wants me to do this or not. See? Now, everybody, believe.
I'm going to go to the hospital.
Jesus Christ, my healer. Will you do it? Radical.